Is it time for a podcast already?
Check 1-2, check 1-2, check 1-2, check 1-2.
I didn't know that.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Garlic Jar Podcast Show. There's a saying in the world today, and that saying is that love makes the world go round and round. I didn't come up with it, but I definitely read it through a lot of things. Maybe it's on a bumper sticker, maybe it's just in books, but you know what also makes the world go round and round? Good friends, good talk, good games, and good libations. So just remember that. Anyway, welcome to the show tonight. I'm joined here tonight with a special guest. We're going to be talking games, video games. We're going to be breaking down a lot of stuff that went over the summer Game Festival, E3. And not only that, though, we're just going to be talking about gaming in general. We're going to be talking about some of the things that pique our interest, some of the things that we're playing right now, we're engaging with. But real quick, I just want to introduce our special guest tonight. We have Gordon Fraser. Gordon, can you say hello to everybody in the podcast world here?
Hello, podcast world. Thank you for having me, man.
You're right. Dude, this is the first time that you're on the Garlic Jar Podcast Show.
Been long in the talks, but it finally came to fruition.
It has been long in the talks. Dude, trying to get a hold of you and trying to book you for a podcast show was like trying to... I'm surprised I didn't have to go through your agent or something like that, you know?
Listen, I'm
you have an agent. Are you popular? Are you a world acclaimed professional gamer now? Like, what's going on?
It's so hard to get in touch. I got 400 followers on Twitch now. I don't even stream anymore.
That is fantastic. But can I ask you something? Because you just brought up Twitch. I mean, are you streaming like currently? Like, are you doing it now? Are you active?
Actually, no. I'm more so active on TikTok. Believe it or not, posting things regarding my wonderful truck.
Oh, cool. Well, we're going to talk more about that. But, you know, I mean, I just wanted to get down to, like, the nitty-gritty here. Make sure we get an introduction of you. And, yo, just say, what the fuck's up, dude?
You know, life. Life's been wonderful.
Man.
What about you?
Well, it's been a while because, you know, me and you, we go way back. And, you know, I think it would only be right if we kind of... if we fill in the audience here, our little Garlic Jar followers tonight, you know, where we come from and, you know, how our origin of meeting began. And it all began at a place called Keystone College.
So many moons ago.
Many moons ago. And, dude, I'm telling you, you were a great student, great time up there. And, of course, I mean, over time, just great friend. Like, I mean, we just bonded. We made a great friendship and everything like that. I mean... Awesome. It's just great that I could still link to you and everything like that, communicate. We check in with one another, you know, here and there through the grapevine and everything. So it's all good, you know?
Yeah, make sure everything's A-okay in life. Everyone's getting by.
We're in the IT world these days. That's what we professionalize in, so.
Yeah, I work for a real estate company. It's wonderful. Real estate agents are wonderful people.
Hey. It's a job, though, right?
It is.
Pays the bills.
Honestly,
you
got to make the most of any working environment. I just try to have fun with it.
Yep. And that's the beauty about a job like that, you'll learn, you'll grow. There'll be downs, there'll be ups. But most importantly, just try and get going and, you know, do what you can through your job and just get those years of experience growing and going and going.
Exactly.
Grow and go.
Yep. I'm about on my two-year mark. Outside of college, doing service desk related activities with companies. So, very interesting learning period.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends that started. And believe it or not, I mean, that's where I started from. I mean, I was in service support, you know, a desk job. It's not the best. It's not the funnest. But, you know, you got to make do with it. And, of course, I just, like I said, there's room to grow. And there's a lot of other things to look forward to afterwards, you know?
Exactly. It's all about how you enjoy life.
But listen, a little bit, now, even though that we just chimed in about work and everything, how about a little bit about us? Like, what are we doing here tonight? I mean, we're talking about libations before, the introduction there, about good libations, about how that makes the world go round and round, makes people happy, you know, games make people happy. What are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking some Knob Creek. It's a nice little fun flavor of the week. Earlier in the week,
that's
though,
a good whiskey.
I had Blackened, which I sadly killed the bottle of. Would highly recommend.
I didn't have Blackened, but if you could correct me on this so I don't butcher it, Blackened is that's the whiskey of Metallica, correct?
Yeah, Metallica backed it / named it, of course, after their song Blackened. It has a wonderful, smooth taste, nothing too strong, while still being pretty potent of a whiskey.
But not gonna lie, though, I mean, the Knob Creek that you're drinking, that's a good whiskey, too. I mean, you can't knock that one. That's a smooth one, too.
It's a great budget whiskey, and when I say budget, I mean it's about $40. It's not, like, cheap, but it's, like, affordable. It's a good, like, splurging for a nicer whiskey.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, I'm a whiskey fan, too. Actually, it's kind of funny, because before we got on, we started talking whiskeys, and we promised that we were going to bring this conversation into just a little bit of our chit-chatty moment here in the beginning. But, yeah, not going to lie, I mean, I'm a whiskey fan myself. I if it's a good whiskey, it's something you don't dare mix with a Coca-Cola or, you know, a soda or any type of beverage. You know, you got to enjoy the whiskey as itself. Let it breathe in the glass, enjoy the aromas, the flavors. Probably a couple my favorite, and I was telling you, I like Dad's Hat, Cooper's, Bullet, and of course, I mean, one that's actually really good for the money, Bird Dog.
Ooh,
Bird
yeah.
Dog's a really good whiskey.
I actually just picked up another bottle of that, speaking of that.
Yep. And speaking of flavors, I mean, if you look at that, because it's like, now that you go into a liquor store anymore, it's like, it's almost like a candy shop, because the vodkas are all loaded with flavors. It looks like the whiskeys now are even going that route.
Can we not
and
talk
now
about
even the rums
flavors.
Are doing that. The rums are getting flavors now.
The rums have flavors,
mean,
though.
They did.
Traditional flavors, I should say, not anything.
Yeah, like a coconut rum, a tropical flavored rum. But now it's like, okay, now there's an apple rum. Now there's a pear rum. Now there's a blueberry rum. Now maybe there'll be a snozberry rum in the next year. Who knows?
As long as there's no blueberry rum, I think we're safe. But
I think there is a blueberry rum. We'll have to find the name of it after the break. We'll come back to that. But yeah, I mean, whiskey is kind of going that route, too. They have, like, did you ever notice that, too? Like, going in the whiskey section now, like, there's black cherry whiskey, there's vanilla flavor. Like, the whiskey brands are now coming out with the flavors, you know?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that kind of appeared on the scene was peanut butter whiskeys, which are actually, honestly, pretty good mixed into a milkshake, like a chocolate milkshake, if you like Reese's, you know? Tastes
I do like
really
that.
Wonderful. Like
the only peanut butter whiskey I ever had was Screwball.
That's what I have also. It's sitting on my shelf. Looking over me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, by itself, it's not bad, but if you mix it with, like, maybe, like, a blackberry brandy or something like that, they call it a peanut butter and jelly shot. That maybe that's something to try, but yeah, I've often heard people mixing that, the peanut butter, whiskey with, like, what you just said, maybe a milkshake, maybe a chocolate drink or something like that. Somebody was actually telling me that they've mixed the peanut butter in with the chocolate coffee liqueur.
Ooh.
Making a drink.
Yeah.
So maybe that, maybe like a chocolate peanut butter coffee or espresso or something, you know?
Well, I was thinking summery drinks, you know, something to cool down with. But yeah, that works totally well also. Chocolate or coffee and peanut butter works pretty well as a combination on the palate.
Absolutely. So you're enjoying whiskey over there. Unfortunately, I do not have whiskey in my jar tonight. See what I just did there? Whiskey in the jar. But no, I'm enjoying a nice, I'm just starting off with a sour ale tonight, and then I'm going to move over to an IPA after the break. But yeah, right now I'm actually drinking Artisanal Brew Works. It's called Extreme Sour Warhead Black Cherry. It's a black cherry sour ale. I don't think it tastes like a black cherry warhead, but I mean, I do get the black cherry flavor, but it just doesn't remind me of the candy. It's a sour, it's definitely sour. And tart. But yeah, it just doesn't remind me of the candy. Because that's what they're trying to... If you look at the can, they have the Sour Warhead logo on there. And yeah, that's exactly what they're trying to push there. Using and brewed with black cherry warheads. So.
That is interesting.
You can just imagine the tart taste to it.
I agree. I'm not a huge sour fan myself, but I'll have to take your word that it's pretty good.
Yep. So Couple things this week before we go into our big topics of gaming. Real quick, I just want to shine a light on a pretty sad topic that started off this week. And, you know, we pretty much just want to put out there that the Garlic Jar Podcast Show wishes a lot of success, a lot of hope, and a lot of positive results and trying to find some of the the victims of what happened there in Surfside, Florida, with that collapse there, what happened in the condominium incident. I mean, my God, it's on the news here and there. I mean, every time I turn the TV on, I see something new with it. And, you know, it just reminds me, it goes back to, like, other moments, like, almost like a 9/11 thing where, you know, people are searching through debris and stuff like that, and they're really hanging on to hope, hanging on to the positives that, you know, they could find their loved ones. So, I mean, us here at Garlic Jar Podcast Show, we just want to shine that light and say, you know, listen, hearts are out there. We're here, all of us, we're thinking of every positive vibe that could go along with these people and their families and trying to find their loved ones. But another thing, too, going into this week, and I want to shed some light on it, local boy from this area, Max Kranick, making a Major League Baseball debut tomorrow. Now, of course, when people are listening to this episode, they could be listening to this during the week, but he's actually going to be starting his MLB debut June 27th at 2:15 against the St. Louis Cardinals. And again, Max is a Valley View graduate here in local area, NEPA. So if anybody of our fans, obviously of the area and Valley View High School, you're listening to our podcast, give Max Kranick a lot of shout-outs there and a lot of wishing, just wish him luck this week, because that's a big accomplishment of getting to the show. But yeah, other than that, though, that's pretty much all I got, and just starting off with some regular topics.
Congratulations, so, Max, by the way.
Yeah, congratulations to Max. Definitely, dude. That's a big accomplishment.
Keep up the hard work.
Yep. So, Gordon, now we turn our interest and we turn our time into the big topic. The big topic, and of course, why we have you here, is to talk games. And sorry that we couldn't have Jenna or Zach on this evening. I wanted to try and get another co-host, but, of course, obligations and work and stuff like that. Jenna's on support tonight. So, shout-outs to our two missing members of the podcast. And me and Gordon are here. We'll handle it. We got it. So, where do we go with games? What do we want to start with?
Well, I mean, we could start with the current thing, the Steam Summer Sale. Launched, okay. I think, was, what, Thursday? Yeah, Thursday. And is going till July, I want to say, 8th?
Okay. So, it launched on Thursday, this past Thursday, right?
Yep, the June 24th, that would be. So, yeah, this past Thursday.
So there's still a lot of time. I mean, people could go and they could download. So what are we looking at as far as a summer sale, though? I mean, what does Steam usually do when they promote this?
Oh, well, I mean, they have their little summer sale event where they have a little story, of course. But as it states, it's one of Steam, and as everyone should probably know, is Steam's wonderful sales being the winter sale and the summer sale. So everything's just discounted a bunch of percent to make everyone give their money over to good old Valve.
Okay. Real quick, is there anything that we should be looking at? Like, do you think that there's anything worthy of looking at in the summer sale?
I mean, to cover the entire summer sale would take probably the entire podcast. So, I mean, it really depends on what you are looking for. As Matt stated, there is plenty of time to take a look at all the categories, but some of the bigger deals is Civilization 6 is 75% off, and bunch of other random things. I'm personally a huge Civilization fan.
Nice. Are you currently playing that? Like, is that something big, like, right now that you're actively going on?
I'm actually playing Civilization 5 because it's just what I had a running game on until I picked up Civ 6. So I was finishing that last game out.
So you're not playing League of Legends?
Okay, well, that's another game. I'm playing League of Legends currently. I'm playing the Pokemon Mystery Dungeons game, and I'm also doing a Nuzlocke run in Pokemon Sword.
Nice.
Those are my current struggles in life.
Yeah, I kind of want to check it out. I mean, because I have a Steam account. But, you know, like, some of the things that I take time and, like, with a lot of friends that we'll focus on is, like, Tabletop Simulator. You know, we'll play Red Dragon Inn, which is a real fun game. Oh, my God, I don't know if anybody's ever played that. But, you know, if you have a group of four or five people, It's freaking fantastic, you know? Phasmophobia, still playing a little bit of that, actually. That's, if you're into the paranormal, the ghost hunting, that's really cool.
I did
cool.
see that. It looked amazing. I just didn't have anyone to play with.
Yep, and you, yo, play with me, dude.
I'll have to pick it up.
Yeah, pick it up. It's actually pretty cool, and one thing I really want to note about that is that, yeah, you could play it single player, like, you could play out a storyline, you could play out missions of your own, but really, that multiplayer sense, like, it actually is really cool, if you had, you know, obviously more than one person playing, so two or three, maybe four, I think you could have up to four people play, I think, don't quote me on that.
I will not.
Might be three, but I think it's up to four.
At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. 3, 4. All it means is Ted doesn't have a spot, whoever Ted is.
Ted. Sorry, Ted. You're out. Oh, man. So, yeah, the summer sale does sound like something interesting. I mean, it does spark my interest just to see what deals are out there. So we'll take your word for it. So it started this past Thursday and ends when again? I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
That is July 8th at 10 a.m. Pacific time.
July 8th. So there you go. Now you've heard it.
Check it out.
So, all right. I guess we will keep rolling with the program here.
Yes.
So after our summer sale, some of the things that I just want to kind of note here, and I mean, now we're both going into, obviously, SGF and E3. So one big thing that I want to bring up that I was really interested in, because I really want to start this off, the one trailer that really caught my attention of a game at E3 was Redfall. Arkane Austin revealed the new title. But basically what it is, it's just it's an immersive open world co-op shooter, and yo, you're killing vampires. How cool is that? I don't know if you could say, like, what kind of category vampire are we talking about? I don't think it's like the Twilight vampire. I think it's more of like a Resident Evil type feel to it, but with not the characters. No, actually, scratch that. I don't even want to say Resident Evil. It's really, to me, I think it's got its own entity. It does have that co-op shooter, obviously, gameplay to it. But it does seem pretty cool. Just with the, you know, going around shooting, killing vampires, and maybe saving the world. Yep. But that's not coming out until 2022 for the release. So we still have a little time on that. But the trailer is wicked sick.
I'm sorry, did you say that was at E3 or Summer Game Fest?
That was E3.
Oh, okay.
E3, yeah.
Yeah, the only reason I bring that up is apparently there's a huge theme of vampires this year. At Summer Game Fest, there was that Blood Hunt game I guess we'll get into later.
Yeah, let's, honestly. I think I heard about that, too. I think that came up in the searches, like when I was just looking up vampire games from E3, because I had to look up the actual title, because I forgot about it. But then when that came up, Blood Hunt did come up. So, but of course, the other one that I want to note out there, too, in the beginning of our episode, we talked about this. Remember Sea of Thieves? They just had a release here where it's a crossover with the Disney platform of Pirates of the Caribbean. So there's like a Captain Jack Sparrow coming to the Sea of Thieves. That's currently what I'm playing right now. I'm actually having a ball with it. I think it's a pretty cool game. Treasure hunting, voyaging, sailing the seas and trying to avoid as much trouble as possible.
What? Come on, so, you gotta start the trouble. It's always the fun part of the games.
You know what? Starting the trouble could be a good thing, but when the trouble comes to you, that's where it's... Because if you have a haul where you're trying to get back to the outposts, and you're trying to get that, your find and your loot, you know, back to the merchants, back to the gold finder, back to anybody, whoever you're selling to on those islands, I mean... Listen, somebody comes up on you and they take over your ship, you're screwed because you just lost out on everything. And that's obviously the whole thing of Sea of Thieves is that, you know, if you run into somebody in your barrage, you're in trouble.
I mean, that's piracy for you. Yarg.
Yeah. You gotta... I mean, hey, they pretty much give us that real life scenario there.
Sadly, it's not the textbook definition that I learned from you, Matt, of pirates.
Yeah. And you know, hey, even when you're playing the game, you know, don't be afraid to give a little bit of a salty seaman voice to it. You know,
you gotta
get
enjoy
out there
life.
And play your games. Yeah, you know, but it is. We played it last night. I don't think we got off till probably about 4 o'clock in the morning. We were on Xbox, so shout outs to Char and Mirko there. We were supposed to have a fourth person on with us, but he never made it. But I think we're going to give it a couple of days off until we get back into our next voyage. So shout outs to my boys.
Got to put the ocean open sea to rest for a moment. let things cool off.
So why don't we go over to you though? I mentioned a couple games here. You know, we talked about Redfall, Sea of Thieves. What's on your find? So anything that you want to mention here real quick? Like, can you bring up a couple points?
Yeah, for sure. Well, one of the bigger things that was released before E3 was Elden Ring, which is a continuation of the Dark Souls game series, which, as you all would probably know, is rolling all around. But this time the story's done with George R. R. Martin from the Game of Thrones series. So the story's just going to be amazing, as always, with the Souls games, and it's going to be infuriating when you're trying to beat it 100%. But that is every Dark Souls game ever. Rage-inducing games.
Dude, I love RPGs.
Don't get me wrong, I love my fair share of RPGs also, but there's just something special about how the Dark Souls games are made that just knows how to infuriate everybody.
Let me ask you something, because, I mean, alright, so I just revealed a big like in my gaming aspect, because, I mean, I could go back to RPGs throughout the years of transition. And, of course, we all know what an RPG is. It's a role-playing game. But, I mean, over the years, what's probably your favorite RPG game that you probably engaged with?
Now, are we including MMORPGs or not in that?
Yeah. I mean, favorite RPG. Do you want me to rephrase it and say favorite RPG ever or of all time?
I mean, either way it works, but I would have to say one game I can always go back to is RuneScape for an MMO. If you're talking straight RPG, it would probably have to be Dark Gauntlet.
Okay.
Gotta have a fun throwback there.
Yeah, that's a throwback. I'm going to obviously go with an obvious, I mean, RPG, back in those classic PlayStation days. And of course, I'm not talking PlayStation 2 or 3, 4. I'm talking classic PlayStation. So, like, if you got your hands on, you know, the old Final Fantasy games. Yeah. I mean, probably one of my favorite of all times was Final Fantasy 7. So, that was an awesome game.
Honestly,
wicked game.
My favorite Final Fantasy, which also was my first, which is probably why it's my favorite, is Final Fantasy X. Just something.
Yeah,
about,
10 was awesome too, wasn't it?
Just something about how the game played out and the story. Something just clicked with me, and I loved it. You can go back and play it anytime. And I think I actually just saw it come out on the Switch or something similar to that.
Definitely.
As a re-release.
Yeah. And I mean, hey, if we want to go back in, you know, retro too, I mean, remember those Pokemon Blue and Red days, like Gold, Silver, Ruby, Sapphire?
Yeah.
Don't forget, you know, those were cool RPG-based games too.
Those were, like, one of the biggest influences in my gaming, like, grow up.
Yeah. And you know what? They were simple too, though. Simple task RPG games.
Do this,
and I think
do
what
that.
Made it, you know. Yeah, and of course the gameplay for battling, that was even set up like a simple RPG process of pick choose, one plays one move, the other plays its move next. You know,
nothing like
anime
or cartoon.
Yeah, I mean, but I always do. I reference it as it goes in my vault, but it also comes back out because it's an all-time favorite. You know, you can never get rid of those games. I always used to, the funny thing is, I always told people this over the years. I always had a ritual. Actually, not a ritual. I shouldn't say a ritual because, you know, if you say ritual, people will be like, are you committing exorcisms up at Home Depot now, Matt? No, sorry. So I shouldn't say
only
ritual,
Lowe's.
But you know, traditional times of Christmas, because that's when I had my first RPG. That's when I had my first Pokemon game with Game Boy Color. I got that for Christmas. I got the teal color, Game Boy Color. And I had Pokemon Red. So I always made it a tradition and an effort to try and play that every year. It would only take me about 2 days to actually finish up the game, because I actually would probably try and burn 12 hours into the game, you know, try and complete this quick. And of course, over time, you know where to go and how to beat the game, so it's a little bit quicker. But I try to make that a tradition every Christmas to play that game, because it was such a impact, you know? It's something to go back to and you always love, you know?
Well, off on a tangent on this one, releasing the remastered version of Diamond and Pearl, I do believe, sometime in the near future. Not too familiar on the date, actually, on that, but
That's pretty
Diamond
cool.
Diamond and Pearl are one of my favorite generations, just because the Dialga and Palkia. Legendary.
What was it, a few years back? Remember Nintendo, well, NDS, right? Didn't they release there was a special version of Blue and Red for the NDS?
Yes. It would have been Leaf Green and, I forget the...
Fire Red.
Fire
right?
Red, yes. Thank you.
Yep.
And then they did it for Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire. I feel like we're forgetting one. Gold and Silver?
Maybe Blue?
Well, sadly, they didn't really do anything for Blue. It was Green.
Okay.
Green Leaf and green. Yellow. Or Green and Red, rather.
Yeah.
Sorry, slight colorblind moment there. Everything's one color.
But yeah, Elden Ring does sound pretty cool. That might be something I attach to. Just because, I mean, you're also saying you're saying it's from the makers of Dark Souls, so that's actually pretty cool too, written by George R. R. Martin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks, I don't know if you saw the trailer, but it looks phenomenal, and looks like GPU markets are probably going to go back up, because you're going to need a beautiful GPU to run this.
Well, hey, people got to start buying those graphic cards, man.
Well, I mean, with the recent ban from China for mining, hopefully the crypto, or not the crypto, but the graphics card market comes back to normality of not being double the price.
Love how you're mentioning the crypto market.
I gotta have some interests in all sorts of technologies, especially with our worker fields to some extent.
Gordon, are you buying Dogecoin?
God, huh? No. I'm not a financial advisor. I would never buy Dogecoin in my life.
Are you stashing Dogecoin? Are you Elon Musk over the...
No, I wish I was Elon Musk. Ooh, driving Teslas all day? Can't go wrong with
my
that.
My God.
Who wouldn't want to be an eccentric...
You never know. No, I hear you. I think Doge is going to go back up, though. I think come time around September, I think you'll see crypto go back up.
It really all depends on politics, and I hate that fact.
Unfortunately, unfortunately, I know exactly where you're going with that.
Because the whole, again, China shutting down crypto.
Yep.
It made a huge impact on their energy grid, nonetheless. It was like something ridiculous, like 2 or 10% maybe or something like that. I can't recall the exact number, but it was noticeable percent of grid usage.
Yep. And not only that, though, but I'm kind of getting a wrong message, too, from our own government. You know, like, I kind of feel like, all right, you know, like, it seems like it's all right for the government to accept and use crypto, but individually, like, they want to put a tight lid or a limit on us at times. Like, I'm reading all these articles about the controversy, and again, I don't want to say conspiracy because there's nothing conspiratorial about it, but the controversy of, you know, the Treasury handling and getting their hands involved in the crypto market, I don't know where it's going to go. I mean, you know, I think crypto just, I feel like that could be global. I really hate the fact that it really is getting a more political outlook to it. You know, I think for more purposes, like, crypto could be it could be a real beneficial thing for currency of global effect.
I
mean, I think that helps all markets, not just one. I think it helps all markets.
No, I would make a huge leap to probably globalization of and unity of people. Which, I don't know about you, I would assume that would lead to more peaceful times and better better lifestyles for the entire world. But that's
absolutely
all future and hypotheticals, and can't really think about those too much.
Nope, I hear you. All right, how about another? Do you have another topic that we could embrace on?
Yeah, speaking of hypotheticals, but this one finally came true, being the Metroid 2 Dread, which is the long-awaited, long-rumored, and long-canceled, then finally brought back 2D Metroid game coming from Nintendo. They originally announced it in the mid-2000s. I was about 6 or 7, somewhere in that neighborhood, when they announced it. I'm now 25 when it's coming out.
Holy God, that... Mike, a 6 or 7 in the mid-2000s. Holy shit!
Listen, I'm a youngin.
You're a youngling.
Just don't put Anakin near me.
No. yeah, we're gonna sick Anakin after you.
What? You gotta make sure God. I turn in my homework or something.
Yeah, you know, I should have used that. That could have been a good motivator for you.
I don't know about...
If you don't do your homework, Gordon, I'm sick of Anakin after you.
I don't know if Dean would approve of that method.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That could have been that could be a visit in the office. Hey, Matt, we need to talk about this Anakin guy. Anakin? Who's this Anakin you're talking about? I don't have an Anakin.
These are not the droids you were looking for.
Yeah, these are... That's good. Metroid, though, I could definitely date back to. I mean, the games were fun. I remember Metroid for Nintendo 64. That was cool. But yeah, that would actually be a good outlook. And my brother keeps on... Oh, man, he keeps on pressuring me to get the Nintendo Switch. And, you know, like, there's a week where it's like I'm gung-ho and I keep saying, yeah, you know what, I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy it. And it's like, it's somehow it just gets shelved all the time where it's like, ah, shit, I didn't have time because, you know, this came up and that came up and then I completely forget about it. Yeah.
What I would recommend is don't commit to the Switch. Commit to the Switch Lite. It's $100 less and it's a handheld version. It's not as powerful and you can't hook it up to a TV, but at the end of the day, you can still play Switch games. It's what I use.
Help. With other people, though? I mean, yeah. Can you... Oh, okay. So cross platforms with other players?
Yep. It has every capability, pretty much, of the Switch. I don't think it has Bluetooth, though. So if you plan on using headphones, make sure you have a corded pair. It is a great alternative, though. It's currently sitting in my car, though. Great place for it.
Well, I was just going to say, that's really not the greatest place for it. Especially out in Jersey. Shame on you.
Hey, it was very rainy here today, so. Very wet.
Oh, God.
I mean, have you seen what happened to Denver, though?
I did. That was insane. Holy. Yeah. Holy shit. But, yeah. Well, I just finished my sour ale. I think this would probably be a good time, Gordon. I think usually we like to go at a halfway mark here and say... Well done, sir. But really, we should take a break. And that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to let Waterworks work. And, you know, we always reference that our Waterworks are our bathroom break. So if you have to use the bathroom, you have to refill the snack bowl or, like me, refill the beer mug. Stick tight with us. Come back. We got Gordon Fraser here. He's literally almost a professional gamer, or I guess you could say he's a professional guru of gaming.
Well, I have come back been on tournaments before.
You have been, and you've played very well. So I know your resume and I know your track record. So that's why I said, stick tight, come back. We will be right back. All right, listeners, welcome back. We are just into the second half of this episode, and holy shitballs. Yeah, I got myself a little buzz going on over here.
You're telling me.
not going to lie. It's a kicking. And you know what? Speaking of just kicking, I just got down to the very bottom here of my pour on my next beer. So actually, I'm really sorry. In the beginning, I stated that I was drinking a double IPA. I actually grabbed the wrong can and just noticed that I brought up an Empire Brewing Company State of Mind NEIPA Mango Habanero Ale. So, listeners, this is the first time that I'm actually drinking this beer. What caught my attention in purchasing it was obviously the mango habanero aspect, because number one, I mean, I love mango. Number two, I love spicy. So habanero, oh man, you put the fruit and the spicy together? My God, is that great shit. So, yeah, you can already see where this is going to be going tonight. So let me just take the first sip here. I'm going to do a little taste test for everybody here.
You can keep the mango over there, Matt. I'll keep my whiskey.
Okay. All right. So my revealed results are this. It's a bit mellow. And when I mean mellow, it's got the ale taste. It's got the ale taste for sure. It's not sweet. I do get a bit of the finesse of the mango, the fruit flavor, but the habanero does come a little bit after. It's kind of like a tingly sensation on the tongue and the back of the throat. Kind of like if anybody ever drank Breaker Brewing, the Mindfire. the jalapeno, blackberry jalapeno beer, how it just has that little bit of a sensation in the back of the throat. It's kind of like that, but it kind of gets a little spicy at the end there. But it's not bad. It's not. I mean, when people hear habanero, they're like, "Oh my god, I can't do that because it's too spicy." No, you could do this. It's mellowed. I think they just say habanero because they're probably using a low percentage or a low pepper extract from the habanero to just mix in with the mango, the fruit flavor. But it's not bad. I mean, I'll give it a 3.25. No, you know what? I'll give it a 3.25 out of 5 on the Untappd rating. Okay?
Sounds like it's
How's that knob creek over there?
It's delicious as always. I'll always prefer it over mango.
Mm. Well, you know what? We didn't have a proper cheers moment, so I'm just going to say cheers here, and I'm going to take another swig.
I will do the same.
Okay, see, now that sip, I got a lot more mango flavor. I think as it's sitting in the... Oh, yeah. Yep, there's the habanero now, too.
Now it's kicking
in. As it's sitting in the glass, and I think it's starting to kind of just brew in there and, you know, breathe. Oh, yeah. Yep, it's getting there.
Are you feeling it, Mr. Krabs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we need to pick up speed here, so let's set the sails to the north forward and proceed.
Well, that sounds like a good segue into the Breath of the Wild 2. Opened up with a trailer at E3, falling out of the sky. Looks like a bunch of sky islands will be the theme of the game, and they probably will be released in 2022. My question is how they are going to continue it off of Breath of the Wild. Looked at the end, it looked like his arm got corrupted in the trailer with some sort of different power of anima, I think it was.
Yeah, okay.
And he lost his little tablet, so it's all through his new fun magical arm.
Correct me if I'm wrong, the first Breath of the Wild, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was a hit. That was huge.
Yes, it launched with the Switch, I do believe, and it was like the major game to go with it.
Yeah, because I still, and my brother is still, like, on the kick of this game. And this is, and remember when I just said he wants me to buy a Switch? Like, he wants me to get involved in this game.
I would recommend it.
I mean, it does. It looks really cool.
It is a wonderful game. It's wonderfully designed. Breath of the Wild 1, this is, because can't judge the second game yet. But it wonderfully designed, wonderful story, very Legend of Zelda-esque game. And very long.
Have you played this?
I've played it to about halfway through. I got sidetracked on other games, and it's been shelved for now. Okay. But I feel as... the second one comes around, I will probably pick it up and finish it finally.
Nice.
It definitely looks like a wonderful game, though. Any others? Mm-hmm. Well, to end off E3 notes, there was Halo and Battlefield 2042, both.
Oh shit, Halo! I forgot about that.
Halo Infinite, right? Yeah.
Halo Infinite. Yep.
Both of them being.
Yeah, they're launching that with both a campaign and a multiplayer, I believe.
Oh, so it's going to be a wonderful... And it's on Xbox and PC, if I recall, because Xbox is now coming PC. With the whole integration of Windows 11 and the Xbox game. If, I don't know if you've been watching that wonderful release.
Of course. Microsoft, baby. Microsoft.
While Battlefield 2042 is a slightly based in slight near future, rather than where Halo is in the far future. Both are wonderful FPS games, and both are wonderful genres of games.
Never played a Battlefield game. Never did.
Honestly, nor have I, but my young brother prefers them over Call of Duty. That's all I know about them.
And you know what? The sad thing is, I've heard that many times. I'm dead serious. CJ, I'm gonna reference you out here, because if you're listening to the episode this week, that's why I want to put you in this reference here with me and Gordon today. You're the very one that usually says this, that it's better than Call of Duty. And you're not the only one that I've heard this from.
I feel like it's...
But that intrigues me. I wonder why, though.
I feel like it's probably true because it's a smaller player base than Call of Duty. Uh-huh. Because think Call of Duty, what's the first thing that pops into your mind, Matt?
Well, that's true, too.
Some 12-year-old screaming into the mic that he
various
acts with your mother.
Yep, because I'm thinking of the annoyance of the young kids over there on the microphone trying to play in with the adult crowd. And, of course, we all know how that goes, where it's like, oh, God, I just wish some of these people were not in the game or on the servers, you know?
I mean,
kind of like how you get with Battlefront, you know, with Star Wars. You know, you're playing with shit teammates where it's like, man, this person's probably like a 9-year-old or a 10-year-old kid. He can't hit the goddamn target for the life of him, you know? And you're going in there to save the day with a Jedi.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. I mean, it exists in any competitive game where you'll have slacking teammates, but I feel like in a smaller player base, there's less toxicity, and that's probably why Battlefield is a better game.
COD is big. COD is strong.
Exactly.
It has a huge following, and I do give that a lot of respect. A lot of respect and a lot of props, because it's been around for a while. It has a very dedicated and a very big fan base.
It's got its tried and true algorithm of pumping out great shooter games that are relatively bug-free.
Absolutely. 100% agree with you on that.
Speaking of which, at E3, Call of Duty Season 4 was announced. I'm not too familiar with what it brings, but it brings probably a new gun as per always, and probably some events.
Huh. How about that? Speaking of, right?
Yep. There's always a fun twist to every story. What other? Speaking of,
how about
fun?
Oh, go back to E3, right? Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, I think that's.
We did miss that because they are actually, and that's just, guys, you got to remember, we're not going over all the game releases, of course. I mean, if you really want to see a list, I will put it out on the Twitter, and if Gordon has a Twitter, he'll plug that in later at the end of the episode. But like. We're just kind of noting some of the big stuff here, some of the stuff that we're really interested in, and of course our outlook. So if you do want to see a full list, we will post that out on social media forums for you to actually look at. But yeah, I mean, the Guardians of the Galaxy looks pretty cool. If you're asking yourself, is it anything like the movie? Is it looking like the characters like Chris Pratt and, you know, Bautista? No, it's more comic book feel, more comic book based. So it's not looking like the characters from the movie. However, it's still cool. It's following the Marvel storylines. It's pretty action-packed.
Yeah, I mean, I took a brief view at the...
Watch the trailer.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
After looking at the trailer, I full-heartedly agree with that. Same, and it looks like it's going to be another Marvel smash hit. Marvel's always good at getting everything. Good with
yeah,
the
I feel
story.
I feel Marvel needs a big game like that though for like the console, you know?
Yeah.
I mean they've been putting out a lot of app based games that you could go with on the iPads and the smartphones and stuff like that, but I really feel like they need a calling, like, you know, like the Spider-Man games. They always do good when PlayStation comes out with them and promotes them, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. Hopefully it is a big smash hit for Marvel.
Yeah, me too.
Personally, I'm a huge Marvel fanboy. It's better than DC, and I know,
some people have
various opinions on that subject, but...
Are you watching Loki?
Honestly, I totally spaced on it until today, so if you don't mind not spoiling it, I'd greatly appreciate
that. No, I definitely won't. We won't talk about that, but you know what? I'd like to have you at a later time, maybe come back and talk Loki.
For sure. Currently, I'm busy watching Demon Slayer, though.
But... All right.
Probably tomorrow that's on the watch list.
Okay. And the only other game that I really want to mention is, I mean, there's really nothing set in stone on a release date on this yet, but we do know that it's coming later, either this year or early next year, is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge. It's an upcoming side-scrolling beat-em-up video game developed by the Tribute Games and published by, Dedemu, based on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles franchise. Inspired by the designs of the 1987 original animated series and the games. So this is based on previous game release for Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis back in the day. Apparently it's going to be for PC, Xbox One, Xbox systems. So yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to that too because, hey, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fan over here. I mean, I'm ready. And I also remember that game playing it way back in the day on Super Nintendo.
What is with the throwbacks to games that were supposed to come out long times ago and just are now coming along 2021?
Retro is back. Retro has been back. You know?
It never left, Matt. It never left.
It's retroism. I feel like that's a made-up term. Like, I feel like I've come up with that. But, like, retro, like, things are coming back. Kids are listening to vinyls. You know, the typewriter's coming back for some strange reason. Don't understand
nostalgia.
That one.
It's a
nostalgia, right?
It's a nostalgia effect. You know, it makes everyone feel like, oh, yeah, everything's better before the pandemic times, maybe.
Yep.
But,
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's, I wonder what next sad thing is going to come back or come through. If only we can predict the future, we'd be million, if not billionaires. You know, the next fidget spinner or something.
Having
like
the
that.
Next idea.
Imagine. What would the next idea be, Matt, if it was up to you?
God. You know, I wouldn't even know. I wouldn't even know where to begin with that, because, like, I would love to have the next Angry Birds idea. You know, like, I mean, a sensation overnight and boom, moneymaker.
That's still even relevant today. They made a couple movies out of that franchise and...
Right? Right?
Think about it. Also, wait, I recall hearing something about Five Nights at Freddy's, I know you were a huge fan of that game back in the...
Yeah.
He actually announced that he's no longer continuing that game series.
So it stopped?
Yeah. That's, if I recall correctly, that's what I read.
I think the last one I played was Five Nights at Freddy's 3. I wasn't a fan of it, but... first one is... I mean, I still occasionally play the first one just to try and get through the nights. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it was a mid controversy, which, I mean...
Oh, there definitely was controversy over the game.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's 21st century. If you're not having controversy, who are you, right?
All right.
Gotta create some controversies here, Matt.
Yep. a lot of snowflakes out there, buddy. A lot of snowflakes.
Oh, yeah, I mean, and changes of time periods and political correctness and all that stuff.
Yep. Political correctness, cancel culture... Social aspect, absolutely. It's a weird time, but you know what? The weird times are bringing positives, even though that we see some negatives. You know, I can't dog on it. I mean, it is. It's a change in time, like you said. You know, we got to embrace the changes.
Exactly. Like with the whole pandemic. Yes, it was terrifying. We lost 600,000 people in the United States alone. But we've also realized that a lot of people can work from home.
And I think that's a big thing too, where a lot, you know, I mean, look at just that aspect alone. It's a good thing you bring that up, because how many, the jobs in the infrastructure now have really expanded and opened up more positions because of that with remote working, you know?
Exactly. And a lot of businesses were able to adapt and overcome the challenges that were presented.
Right.
Albeit not all of them survived, but you had restaurants switching to a huge... pick up an order system.
Yep, pick up an order.
Uber
it's more
Eats,
takeout now
DoorDash.
Than anything. You know, Uber Eats. Yep, utilizing. I was just gonna say the third party entities. You know,
exactly. It's become a huge, massive industry because of a terrifying event.
Yep, absolutely. And right there, that right there is the example of overcoming. You know, the bad, and of course, embracing the change.
Exactly. Let's just hope the changes stick. The positive changes stick around. For the longevity of the future.
Okay.
Speaking of things that might not last longly, is the Pokemon Unite game. It looks amazing, but I feel like they're coming way too late and out way too far of an angle to the MOBA scene with the Pokemon Unite game that was announced.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, we talked about this briefly in the week. You know, because, hey, you know, we're not spoiling anything here. We're not trying to tell you that this is all, you know... recorded and we're going with a transcript. No, I mean, we're on the fly on this. We're talking about it. But of course, before we go on live here with this episode in the podcast, I mean, we do kind of hash things out. We kind of do talk briefly about the topics. And I liked what you said there, because, you know, that right there kind of drove the flag, where it was like, I liked what I saw through like a preview play. I liked what I saw in the trailer, but like, It's important to state, even though when you watch that stuff and you see that stuff, you know, it's unfortunate, because once you're in gameplay and you experience it, it's not what it actually comes out to be, you know? And I kind of feel like that Pokemon game could probably be in that aspect.
Yeah, I mean,
you know?
It'll probably have a good week or two on Twitch as a highly played game by a couple content creators. And then the meta shifts to the next game, which who knows what that game is. It's all about whatever is out.
I totally agree. July 2021 is the release on that, right?
Yeah, sometime in July. I'm not too sure on the date. I couldn't find that information.
Yeah, because, I was going to say, because I don't even think I saw the date on that. I do know that it is, shooting for that.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm totally going to play the game as a lover of MOBAs. I've played League of Legends since Season 3, so 8 years now.
Sorry about that.
Don't apologize for such silly things, Matt.
Hey, what did we say before? Let the fucks fly, let the burps roar, and let the shit hit the fan. All right?
I feel that.
There you go. Perfect. Perfect. Good boy.
One game I was excited about seeing, though, from Summer Game Festival, Matt, or Summer Game Fest.
Go ahead.
Was the Tiny Tina's Wonderland. I'm a huge fan of the Borderlands series. Me and my one friend, Kai, did a huge playthrough drinking from Borderlands 1, 2, and 3 all live on Twitch.
Kind of reminds me of D&D. Dungeons & Dragons.
Yes, it's Borderlands is known for their fairy tale DLCs and mentions of Butt Stallion, which is Tiny Tina's unicorn.
Right.
It's a wonderful game. I would recommend taking a look at it. It doesn't have a release date yet, but it's Borderlands. They've kicked ass on every fucking game they've released, in my opinion.
Maybe this is something that we could connect on. Maybe we could get something going, you know?
You want to do a stream on Twitch, drinking?
Yeah,
and doing,
why not?
I'm down for it. It involves two of my favorite things, Matt, video games and alcohol.
Can we say that makes the world go round?
No, I'm gonna say water does, because gotta stay hydrated.
Well, you do need to stay hydrated. That is important. 4 to 8 glasses a day, guys. 4 to 8 glasses. Just remember that. Not only does it make you feel better, but it makes the liver better too. But what about Evil Dead? They have a game coming out too, don't they? The Evil Dead series?
Yeah, it looks like a play on the Left 4 Dead series from what I looked at it. But it also had the aspect of playing as a zombie, so there is a player versus player aspect. Okay. Also, there's the standard zombie shoot'em game aspect to it as well, with any zombie killing game there is.
Yeah.
Can you name a game without shooting a zombie?
Without shooting a zombie?
I mean, Animal Crossing, but that's stuff.
Well, when you think of the Evil Dead games, like, not gonna lie, like, it kind of brings me into that, like, Resident Evil type setting, you know? Or, I don't know, Silent Hill wasn't zombies. Silent Hill was just more
supernatural-ish.
It was more supernatural. But yeah, like, when the Evil Dead, like, when you talk about a standard zombie killer, standard zombie game, yeah, it kind of does take me back to the Resident Evil feel,
It does have some characters starring from the Evil Dead series, of course. I should have mentioned that. That was my mistake on that one.
Sorry.
This Knob Creek has been affecting my brainwaves a little bit.
Yeah, I know. I told you, I'm feeling it over here. I'm buzzing like a bee. So...
what else is there today? There was also the other game that we talked about briefly when you mentioned Redfall.
You're probably going for Blood Hunt. Yep.
Which, again, is a Battle Royale, though, PvP game where you are a vampire hunting humans and other vampires. It looks, very good game. Gives the vampires, like, super jump powers, of course, and there are some...
And I did see the trailer for this. It does look pretty cool.
Yeah, it
like
definitely does. I'm not a huge Battle Royale fan myself, but I might give it a go. Give it a couple rounds.
That's the only downfall. That's kind of like the thing that just turns me around off this, is that Battle Royale style, you know?
But that's the wonderful wonders of gaming, you know? There's multiple different genres for different strokes for different folks.
And like I said, there's obviously a dedicated bunch that like that style of gaming.
Exactly. Personally, I can't stand Battle Royales, but I love RTSs, such as the Warcraft series.
Yep.
I actually recently started playing that also. I forgot about that.
Yep.
What else?
Well, Gordon, I think that actually... I think we got everything on the list that we wanted to talk about.
I think so.
From Steam Summer Sale, Redfall, Sea of Thieves, Elden Ring, Metroid, I mean, I'm trying to think of other things. Battlefield, I mean, we got the whole shabam listed here. So, obviously, I mean, I think we filled in a lot of people with some good topics and good things here. But, you know, I mean, looking just at gaming in general, before we end the episode tonight, you know, some of the things that I want to ask you. What are you doing currently? I mean, what games are you currently playing? Have you been involved in any recent qualifiers, any type of professional gaming events? Have you been doing anything or no?
Well, sadly, most of my time has been dedicated to working on my project truck, which I've been slowly restoring. It's a old 1984. Well, old for me. I'm sorry. 1984 F-250, which I...
It's a classic.
It is technically a classic by state law's view, so... with that.
Mm-hmm.
So once that's done, though, I look to plan into again playing the Elden Ring game when it comes out, finish a couple other games that I've been playing, maybe even the Breath of the Wild, the first one, so I can be caught up for the second release when it releases.
All right,
what about cool you deal. Matt, you playing anything good this week?
Well, like I just said, I just started Sea of Thieves this week. I'm actually loving it. I'm enjoying it. You know, it obviously does go a lot better when you're working with more, you know, the multiplayer sense when you're in there with more people.
Now, my question for
you, I know
Matt,
a lot. Go ahead.
When
go
playing
ahead.
That game, are you drinking rum? Because I feel like that's a necessity for that game.
No, I'm not drinking rum, but I'm drinking beer, you know?
Man,
I am drinking beer.
That's not the pirate's life. Rum.
No, it's not the pirate's life. You're absolutely right. You know, I feel like I'm breaking the pirate code there, not drinking rum. But you know what? Rum is, I don't know. For me, I just can't get into it. It's got to be mixed in a drink. I can't drink it straight, you know?
Again, everyone's got their opinions. That's a wonderful thing about life.
Yep. And I'm glad you asked me that. I mean, because like I said, you know, if anybody's interested in games like what we're currently playing... I mean, you know, that's important, too. I mean, gaming's huge. I mean, it's such a big market nowadays. And, you know, there's, like you said, there's a lot of stuff out there. There's a lot of fan bases. There's something out there for everyone to enjoy.
Exactly.
You know?
And just be inclusive about it. Like, don't gatekeep and don't be that person that nobody likes to play with.
Exactly.
Well,
I mean, I don't know. I mean, yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at. I mean... I didn't realize, I mean, you know, yeah, your time's taken up a lot there with that 1984 truck of yours. Do you plan on getting any classic plates on that or what?
For legal reasons, I'm going to avoid that because you're only allowed about 3,000 miles a year, and I'm at 2,000 already this year on that truck. But try and keep the miles as low as possible. It's got 74,000 original miles for a 37-year-old truck. Can't go wrong with that.
Tell you what, that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I picked it up for, the price I got it for, thankfully. Is there, anything else to talk about tonight?
Gordon, I think you've provided us enough. I think this was pretty good. I had a fun time with you tonight, and, you know, really, we are kind of getting a little over our time frame, but real quick, let me just kind of summarize here. We had Gordon Fraser on tonight. Great guy here. Really good friend of mine. We're going to have him back definitely for another episode in the future. Who knows? Maybe it'll be for Loki or maybe it'll be another episode on gaming. We'll see what the future holds for us. But, Gordon, is there anything that you want to kind of give us? Is there anything that people could follow? Your Twitch, your Twitter. Do you want to give us some plugins here?
Yeah, sure. You can find me under my gaming tag, OneTinCan. That's O-N-E and not the number. It's my Twitch, my Twitter, I want to say it's also my TikTok, which is mostly where I've been posting updates on my truck, which is sporadic, but that's because waiting on parts to come in and all that fun jazz.
All right, cool stuff. Well, like I said, I hope you come back someday. Well, like someday as in maybe, you know, next month or a couple months, who knows? I mean, like I said, I think this was cool stuff. I think you provided us a lot of good information. You definitely did your homework with SGF and E3. And, like I said, I'm just kind of looking forward to how the games, unfold and how they gameplay in the future here for everybody to enjoy.
Exactly.
So guys, real quick, if you are just, new to this episode and you're just getting into Garlic Jar Media, you know, if you want to shoot over a comment, a question, or any, you know, anything at all, if you want to just send a hello, hi, how are you? You know, you can send us an email at garlicjarmedia@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. We have our Twitter accounts plugged into the episodes. At D Doldrums, at J Riley 1411, and at Phoenix 43.
And at One Tin Can.
And now we have Gordon here at One Tin Can. So, like I said, you know, hey, we're out there. Our presence is known. And, you know, this is just, it's so awesome. I mean, 54 episodes and going. Gordon, I'm so glad that we were just able to get you on as a special guest and you were finally here to arrive.
I'm so thankful for you having me, man. It's been a wonderful night. I had a wonderful time.
All right, dude. Well, with that being said, I'm going to finish my beers. I'm going to keep it going. I'm going to get this party rocking. And you know what? I have games to be played of my own right now in the next couple minutes. So I'm going to be jumping either on Battlefront or maybe just a little bit of Sea of Thieves of my own. Getting out there on the salty seas with those bastards trying to steal my loot. Mm. So, hey, it's been real, guys. Have a great night. And again, please follow us. We love you. Good night.
Night. With a high, a piccolo, and a